This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, we are almost to the end of the week. I am in such an incredible mood. I think I'm even going to do a big email roundup smorgasbord, clearing out some room for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow. That's the kind of mood I'm in. We're going to talk about Trump's latest statement on the Iran dust-up. Tom Tillis, of course, had to open his fat mouth. We're going to discuss the condition of some things, blue places in America, and why you and me, we've been conditioned to accept what is unacceptable. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss Jasmine Crockett, who can't get her face off of TV, street communists, drag queen nonsense in a Disney movie. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to get this out of the way first because I want to spend maybe 2 minutes on this tonight. And I'm probably not going back unless it's in the emails, which it very well may be. Trump, Iran. Caroline Levitt came out today, said this.
I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks.
Okay. What's happening? Donald Trump, from what is being reported, and it has been widely reported, Donald Trump is unsure. I don't want to make him sound not confident or anything like that. Donald Trump is getting it from both sides, meaning not the left and the right. Inside the Trump White House, there are voices screaming at Trump, hit the nuclear facilities in Iran, hit them right now, take them out. Now's the time. There are just as many and just as many powerful voices in the Trump White House saying, Israel can handle this themselves. We don't want to get involved. Stay away. Let Israel handle it. You run the risk of getting stuck over there. I believe Donald Trump thinks Iran is back against the wall enough that they may come to the negotiating table because they're facing the end of everything. They're facing the people running Iran are facing the end of all their power, all that money, all that. It's gone forever. I believe Trump thinks their back is up against the wall enough that he can get them to the negotiating table in 2 weeks or within 2 weeks. Whether or not he thinks they will, I don't know. I'm not inside the man's mind. I don't want to say that. Trump wants another 2 weeks before American bombs start dropping. That's your latest update. You obviously have different voices from different countries saying different things, though, as well. Senator Tom Tillis, useless piece of trash from North Carolina, came out and he said this today.
Time for regime change. And I believe that this president should be given a fair amount of leeway to affect that.
Okay. Time for regime change. As we discussed last night, totally an understandable position from Israel's perspective, no question about it. Really, and our perspective. It's understandable to want a filthy, evil, murderous government like that that's always threatening to kill you. It's understandable to want the change, the regime gone. But two critically important questions I keep asking, and nobody can seem to give me an answer, or nobody, I guess I should say, seems willing to give me an answer, which is making me nervous. Change to what? And who will be facilitating that change? And so when I've asked the question, here's the answer I get the most. One, I will get people yelling at me that, quote, nobody is calling for a regime change. Chris, sorry to drop this on you last minute. Go grab that video of Netanyahu where he came out and called for the Iranian people to rise up and cast off their government. stops. It's not even from way back, Chris. I think it was from last week. Stop saying that nobody's calling for regime change. Politicians, political leaders at the highest levels in America and Israel are calling for regime change. They are calling for that. So if you say nobody's calling for regime change, you're either A, a moron, or B, a liar. They are calling for it. They're calling for it publicly, and I understand why they're calling for it. If you're sitting there in Israel, it's very understandable why you would want the regime to change. I got all that. My question is, who are we changing it to? And who's facilitating it? And when I ask who is facilitating it, I will get answers like, the Iranian people. What's that mean? The Iranian people. Why has historically, why has regime change ended really, really ugly historically? Because remember, we've taken out some really bad men, the United States of America. Gaddafi was a bad man, an evil man. Abuse, murder, rape, torture of his citizens. Gaddafi's a bad man, terrorist. Saddam Hussein, bad man. I have stood inside of one of his torture chambers. I'm telling you, bad man. But bad people. But why hasn't it worked out after we've bounced these bad men? Libya's worse than it's ever been. Iraq is obviously doesn't need any explanation. Why? Because when you just say, well, now it's up to the people, you know who emerges? The guy with the most guns. The most violent, most powerful group in that country oftentimes rises and takes it over because that's kind of the law of nature. That's really how it works. You take out the strong man who's in charge. You either have to facilitate the next person coming in, the one you want, or it's going to be the guy who has the most guns, the most bombs, the most bullets, the most nothing. So it's two basic questions, and they're very important questions, and there may be wonderful answers to these questions. Morons do not run Israel. Very sharp people run Israel. We have some very sharp people in the Trump administration. Okay, so I'm not thinking that I'm the only one who've thought of this, but I don't hear a lot of answers to those really critically important questions, and they do matter. Getting rid of the evil, murderous scumbags who are there, fine, sounds great. Who's coming next? And who's facilitating that? Because somebody, either Israel or America, or maybe it could be, you could argue maybe it could be a United Nations thing. That'll work out well. But somebody, if we don't want it to be the next warlord with the most guns, somebody is going to have to facilitate elections. Do the Iranian people even know how to operate an election? Who are going to be the players involved there? These are critically important questions, and they're questions you have to seek out and find the answer to before you go breaking things. Before you go breaking things. That is what has really hurt us time and time again. We identify an evil regime. Iran is, by any measure, an evil freaking regime. Screw those people. Well, not the people, the regime. An evil regime. We identify an evil regime, and then we say, we got to take them out. And everyone gets on board. Yeah, let's take them out. And the bombs and everything else sounds good. We can take out anybody we want. And then once the smoke clears, and we've taken out whoever it is to take out, we look around and it's a bunch of morons who didn't have a plan trying to figure out what came next. And so we have American troops guarding poppy fields in Afghanistan. We have ISIS as part of the freaking government in Iraq. Just a complete nightmare. But again, don't tell me that nobody's calling for regime change.
Logical thuggery that has kidnapped your country will not stand for long, and you are the future, not them. That's my message to you, people.
Yeah, they are, And I get it. Like I said, totally understandable if you're facing rockets from these freaking dirt balls every day. What is the plan for afterwards? Someone's going to have to facilitate said change. Are we 100% comfortable with whoever our chosen guy is? Do we have a chosen guy? Yes, I know about the royal family and the kid. They're talking about bringing back the kid. He's not a kid anymore. He's an older man, but talking about bringing back this. Fine, if that's the plan. All I'm asking is what the plan is. Let's move on. We're talking about other things. I want to talk about dirty cities full of crime. Next.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, and I almost forgot to remind you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. For you new listeners, Fridays, I spend the entire 3 hours answering your emails. Whatever you ask me, it doesn't even have to be political. Obviously, it's going to be a bunch of political stuff. It could be anything, history, food. It'd be dumb. I don't care. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com is the email address. They are already piling up. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jewish producer Chris is in there nodding his head. Do we have a lot of them already, Chris? We do? Dang it. All right, I'll be extra fast tomorrow. I will, Chris. Why do you always put me down when I make these definitive statements? No, not experience. No, you just like to be a Debbie Downer with everything I say. Well, I'm done putting up with it. All right, there's an advertisement. There's a headline from Insider Paper. It's about San Francisco. San Francisco's the worst run major city in the U.S. All right. So there are things that people get conditioned to. It's human nature to get conditioned to whatever your environment happens to be. And look, it's almost a way to stay sane, if you will. Have you ever thought about prison? I know we have a bunch of people listening right now in prison, praying for you guys, rooting for you guys, by the way. But have you ever thought about people in prison? What is that like? How do you not lose your mind when you go from being free? I think I'll go to McDonald's. I'm going to go home, go to sleep, going to go catch a movie. How do you go from being free to being locked in a cage, oftentimes with another human being, eating whatever how does your mind not break? Well, you condition yourself eventually. Eventually, you get used to it, for lack of a better way to put it. You get used to it. Not that it's great, but you get used to it. So much so that the stories are famous. Some guys who've been in long enough, they want to go back. It's all they know. They're conditioned to it. Citizens of a country get conditioned to things as well for the exact same reason. You get conditioned to it so you don't lose your mind with frustration and anger. There are a couple things I want to focus on just because they've been on my mind this morning when I was having coffee. I was thinking about it. There's a couple things I want to focus on about America that we've been conditioned to, you and me, we've been conditioned to, and we shouldn't accept it. And the first one of those things is this. America's cities are filthy, dirty, and they're full of crime. Now, when I made that point, you may have been tempted, maybe you even did it, to shrug your shoulders or say something to the effect of, well, yeah, but you understand there are cities, big cities, in other parts of the world that are not filthy. They are not full of crime. You don't have to send your wife with a 3-person bodyguard unit if she's going to the grocery store at 11 o'clock at night in the wrong part of town. We Americans have been conditioned to just accept that if it is a big city, it will be filthy and it will be full of crime. That's not true. I went to, remember I told you I went to Rome. We did the Italy thing so I could go nerd out on history stuff. You want to hear something? I'm very glad I did Rome. I think we were there like 3 days or something like that. I'm very glad I got to see the Colosseum and and the Spanish Steps and all kinds of cool Roman history. I'm really, really glad. I'm glad we went. I'm glad I got to see it. I don't know if I'll ever go back. Why? The shocking state of dirt, homeless people, foreigners, and barbarians spray painting everything in the city. You think you're walking into white marble or something like that. It was abused by the people there. Why? Why does San Francisco look like that? Why do you have to step in puddles of urine when you're in New York down in the subway? Why are they lighting people on fire? Why is all this graffiti nonsense allowed? Trash, crime, misery. Why? Because we keep electing leftists in these places. And that's just the simple truth. There is no strict enforcement of crime. The foreign barbarians that left-wing politicians in Rome and every part of America, they all congregate in these sanctuary cities where they abuse the welfare system, abuse the citizens who are there, bringing their foreign customs into the place. That's why you get all kinds of drug addiction and crime and the peeing on the sidewalk. And America's criminals are allowed to be criminals. Drug abuse is encouraged. We turn our own criminals loose and we import more of them. This is just a PSA for you and me because it's been this way my entire life. We should not have to accept the fact that American cities are disgusting. It drives me crazy. I think Tokyo, Chris, look this up real quick. I think Tokyo has 17 million people. You can send your freaking wife walking 20 blocks across Tokyo at 1 a.m. and without an ounce of fear whatsoever, because the city, which I have been, I went there in the Marine Corps, is sparkling and virtually crime-free, and it's double the size of New York. 14 million people, double the size of New York City, crime-free, no dirt. We have been conditioned to accept something we should not accept. That's the first thing. The second thing I'll get to in a moment, but actually the first thing leads me to Burna. Carrying something on you in one of these filthy cities that will allow you to stop a bad person from peeing on you, from knifing you, from punching you, hurting you, lighting you on fire. How do you stop a bad person when you're walking the streets of San Francisco with their gun laws? Chicago, New York, a Burna launcher, non-lethal. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. Their new compact launchers, the size of a freaking smartphone, slips right in your purse, right in your pocket, and you have something on you shooting these tear gas balls. It will save your life one day, or the life of the person you love the most. Keep one in your car, by your bed, in your pocket. BYRNA, Burna.com. All right, you can even go find a retail store and try one out. Sportsman's Warehouse, all these places. BYRNA, Burna.com. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. There's another thing that we've been conditioned to accept here in America, and we shouldn't accept it. I wish it wasn't this way, and we should work hard as a society to change it. The first one, as I mentioned, is the filth, the rotted criminal filth in America's cities. It's been this way my entire life, and so now people just kind of bake it into the cake that cities are supposed to be filthy. They're supposed to have homeless people everywhere. You're supposed to have illegals everywhere. A new stabbing a night, that's a total lie. That is allowed, and in fact, it is encouraged by the Democrat politicians who run these cities. It doesn't have to be this way. It really does not. And the second thing we've been conditioned to accept is endless street activism in this country. You and I, we talk about this all the time, so you already know the why. You understand that street communists are looked at by the people in power, Democrat politicians, the media. The street animals are looked at as an army. They're looked at as an army. That's why they do so many of the things they do, because they are being deployed by America's Democrats. This is why Democrats speak this way all the time. They have spent years, decades, creating group after group after group after group of paid-for professional rioters across this country. And they view that group as their standing political army. And before I actually play the montage, remember, you have to set aside morality, your morality. You have to set aside morality when you're thinking about power and why people do the things they do. If I, setting aside all morality, no more right and wrong, because that's how the communist thinks, no more right and wrong, if I walked around at all times, no matter what I was doing, if I walked around with 10 violent men who would do my bidding at all times, and again, no morality, would that benefit me in life? What if I went to the baseball game and I wanted to sit in your seats? Who's going to stop me? What if the next time I had a contract negotiation with Premier, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere, but what if I had a contract negotiation tomorrow with Premier? What if I showed up with 10 violent men? Am I getting a better deal? What if I wanted that guy's pizza? That guy's walking down the hallway right now. I'm looking at him. He's got a pizza. I'm starving. What if I want his pizza? There's power in having violent people around you who will follow your commands. There's power in it. And that's why Democrat politicians speak like this.
We are going to fight it legislatively. We are going to fight it in the courts, and we're going to fight it in the streets.
Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption, but I am now.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting a strike ready or street ready.
I am so thankful. I'm going to keep screaming in the halls of Congress. I just need y'all to make sure that y'all keep screaming in the streets.
In the streets. We're going to be street ready. I need you to get to the streets. Street ready. We're going to get to the streets. Democrats create riots. You've had riots your entire life. No matter how old you are, you can remember turning on the television and seeing the animals in the streets. Whether you're 8 or 98, you've seen it your whole life. You know that's another thing you shouldn't have to live with. There shouldn't be endless political rioting and looting in your country. That happens, again, because we elect Democrats in this country. We elect these leftist politicians, and they've created this army. Enough of this nonsense. I'm going to do some emails tonight. Jesse, today while driving in Tucson, I saw an American flag bumper sticker on a car. On this version of the American flag, the word think is printed in the field where the 50 stars usually appear, with the words it's patriotic printed underneath the flag. This is an example of how leftists are attempting to reclaim the American flag while also being an example of how they cannot stop scolding others and coming off as elitist. His name is Bob. Well, these people read poll numbers. And remember, they're not bound by anything like truth.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
They're not bound by that. They are fighting a revolution to burn it down, to burn down our country. And they really, I want to focus on this mentality for a moment. They really do think everything is evil, all existing power structures. They look at a school system and they think that's evil. A corporation, they think that's evil. That's why they're always trying to break everything. All existing systems are evil. They all hold up systems of oppression. That's why they speak in terms like this. Therefore, the greater good is burn everything down. But they also understand, as revolutionaries trying to burn everything down, that is not going to be a popular concept with people who are enjoying how they currently live, enjoying their country. So you always have to try to sell burning it down
But you always have to balance that with, I mean, I love America. It's just evil and crappy and racist, but it's a great place, but it's an evil place too. It's something we should absolutely put to the torch. Man, I love the troops. It's this constant tightrope you have to walk if you're an American Democrat, constantly signaling to the animals on the streets that you will burn their country the way they want it burned, while trying at the same time to not freak out normie American. The problem for Democrats is they used to be able to get away with that tightrope more easily for a couple different reasons. One, their party has gone to the left. There's no question about that, and that's difficult to cover up. But two, the American media, the mainstream media, they lost their power. With the invention of all the endless social media apps, it's essentially just the internet. All the availability of news and podcasts and other sources. If you're a Democrat, what you need, because you know you have to lie about everything at all times, you essentially need to walk up to every human being. Just picture one person, though. The American public is represented in one human being. And you need to grab their face, both sides of it, with your hands and keep their face only focused on you and what you're saying. No, don't look to the left. No, don't do that. No, you're not allowed to hear that. This is why companies like Facebook were banning people for questioning the vaccine. This is why they believe in censorship and control. No, no, no. Only look at me. Only look at me. There's nothing else. The second people start to look left or right, the second they stop consuming that, they wake up and realize they've been lied to their whole lives. If you want somebody like this brain dead idiot, you have to keep their eyes only on you. What happens if you only look at Democrats and Democrat media forever?
I'm just so scared. I'm 74 years old. I worry about everything. And I just am so scared and upset. And I don't understand why people did.
Yeah. That's how they operate. And they are losing their power because they can't control what people look at anymore. Drives them crazy. Remember when the Biden administration tried to do something that was met with so much resistance, they dropped it? The Ministry of, what was it, disinformation or misinformation? They decided to try to essentially start a government censorship office to tell you what was true and what wasn't true. Freaking creepy. Here's what's true. Rough Greens is packed full of vitamins and minerals for your dog. Digestive enzymes and probiotics, that's been big for poor Fred. Omega oils, antioxidants. Do you know that you will see a difference in your dog's coat? It's wild. Maybe you don't even really notice the fact that your dog's coat is kind of faded, not as shiny as it used to be. Rough Greens will show you that your dog hasn't been getting nutrition. Your dog's energy. Do you have a lethargic dog? Or maybe your dog's hyperactive. You know, this will help with that too. And it's natural. And you don't have to change your dog's food. Your dog likes your food. Let him keep it. Sprinkle Rough Greens on it. You will love it. How about fewer trips to the vet? How about a dog that lives longer? Free Jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Remember that talk we were just having about how communists lie about everything at all times?
Even if you're saying that there was a mentally deficient Joe Biden, I know that he absolutely had a mental acuity that is supreme when it comes to comparing him to Donald Trump, because at least he kept...
This is why the invention of social media has been so devastating for the Democrat Party in this country, because they've just gotten used to a system
where you can say the sky is green and every single major media outlet will parrot your ridiculous talking points, allowing you to manipulate larger portions of the population. They used to be able to lie more effectively. Now everybody laughs at them when they speak. Jesse, after 4 6-month tours in the jungle, killing about anything that moved, I can't imagine being in the sandbox with only air support on a good day. You're lucky to be alive. Keep it up. Oh, please, you Vietnam guys don't need to be admiring me or anything like that. I'll tell you that much. Hey, Jesse, whatever happened to your midlife crisis car? I guess Ask Dr. Jesse Friday started early. Jesse, whatever happened to your midlife crisis car? You mentioned it a long time ago. We were kind of hoping for the big reveal once you sold it and returned to a man truck. Love the history lessons. Look forward to an episode on the Anabasis of Xenophon. You can say my name. It says his name is Dan. Okay. I thought I told you before. Didn't I say what my midlife crisis car was, Chris? It was a long time ago. All right. So let's recap for the new listeners. I am 6'8". I grew up in a construction family. Those two things combined means I bought a pickup truck the second I could afford a pickup truck. When I was a kid, it was always just whatever. I mean, my first car was $600. It was whatever crappy car you could, 83 Honda Accord that was falling apart. Whatever, you know, like most normal people, crappy car. It was always crappy cars. When I got old enough and had saved up enough money, I got a pickup truck. This is back before pickup trucks cost like $60,000 or whatever crazy crap they're charging for these things now. Anyway, I don't want to be Grandpa Jesse. I always had a pickup truck. Chris, how many years ago we signed with Premier? Like 4 years ago, something like that? Four? Probably roughly 4 years ago. All right. So I started doing radio about 6.5, 7 years ago. I'm brand new to this, believe it or not. I'm brand new. And we had no idea the show would ever go anywhere. We had no idea anybody would ever listen. We were doing a 7 to 8 o'clock at night show on a local station in Houston. Wonderful station, by the way, KPRC, but I mean, no one's even listening. No, at least we didn't think so. We didn't know. And one day, by God's own grace, Premier calls. This is after Rush died. And they said, hey, we've been listening. How crazy is that? We want you to be the 6 to 9 Eastern guy all across the country. Which, I mean, who gets that phone call? Every single person who does what I do for a living dreams about that phone call. And the most amazing part is, what the most humbling thing, most of the time that call never comes. You'll do whatever, however long, 30, 40 years, and you never get that call. I just kind of started and they made that call. They called. So here we are. I'm not a big buy nice stuff guy. It's not that I have anything against nice stuff. I'm not trying to make myself out to be a monk. I prefer memories. I would rather take my kids fishing in Alaska than buy a fancy new suit. I'm just not big or a fancy new watch. I don't own a Rolex or anything like that. That stuff doesn't interest me. I love memories. I want pictures. I want memories with my family, memories of people I care about. So that's really more where I would put my money. Got me? So I've never bought a luxury car ever in a million years. I start toying with the idea of it. Quit laughing, Chris. I go out one day. I think it was before the show. I think we were working that day, Chris. I go out one day and I decide to stop by an Audi dealership. I stop by. I've never even sat in a car this nice before and I test drive. It was something sweet. Chris, is it the A something like A6, A7, whatever? Okay, whatever, Chris. Anyway, I can understand why you wouldn't want German cars. Either way, I test drove it, and I thought, this is so cool. It's so fast. I'd never been in anything this fast. I went back, and I had a pickup. I had a Ford pickup, Ford F-150. I had a Ford pickup to trade in. And look, I'm a former sales manager. That's what I did right before I did this. So I came prepared. I said, I'm going to be trading in a Ford F-150, very good condition. I had the miles written down. I knew everything. I knew everything he would need. And the salesman, friggin' moron, we get back to the dealership, and I hand him all the information and my information, and I said, man, I think I'm going to buy this frigging thing. Here's all my information. Go work up some numbers. Call me. Make me a fair price. I'll come down and buy it. Okay, sounds good. Never heard from him. I know, Chris. Just straight up ghosted me. Never heard from him. Like I'm some kind of ugly chick asking him out on a date or something. Just straight up ghosted me. Okay. So I went up to the Mercedes dealership. Did the same thing. Test drove. They had some car in the showroom. It was like a gunmetal gray type car. You see a lot of them on the road now. It was like a gunmetal gray. What was it? A CLS 450, I think is what it was called. A CLS 450. 2020 or 2019, something like that. I'd never sat in a car that was that fast. Bought it. And regretted it. Look, it was fun. It was fast. My boys are enormous. James is 16. I think he's 6'4 already. Luke is 14. I think he's already 6 feet, 6'1. They don't even fit in the. It was just not. It wasn't me. And it wasn't practical. And I was embarrassed. I was always embarrassed whenever I would get recognized and people would be like, oh, is that your car? Then I'm Mercedes guy. And I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. Okay. What, Chris? What? Did I ever take it to the track? What track would I take it to, Chris? Do you think I have access to just some random track where I can go race my car? How would I even, how are they around? And how would I know that whatsoever? I'm not a track guy. And no, I never took it to the track. You're right. I didn't need the speed. Okay. That's why I got rid of the dumb car. It felt good for a short time. And then I regretted it. It's like dating a redhead. It happens. Okay. It happens. Let's talk. All right. Somebody has a question about the whole Tucker Carlson, Ted Cruz dust up. And then we'll discuss Disney, Harvard, other things. Let's talk about chalk. You know what makes you feel good? Not driving a stupid Mercedes. A male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. That's what makes you feel good. No matter what kind of car you're in, when you start taking natural herbal supplements from Chalk, you feel good. And I know I should probably describe it better than that, but you just do. Your mood is better. Real, legitimate energy. Not that caffeinated, your legs bouncing up and down and your palms are sweaty energy. Real, genuine energy. You want to move more. Life is better. Try it. Try it for 90 days. Cancel your subscription if you do not feel amazingly better. Cancel it after 90 days. Give it 90 days. Call or text them. 50-CHALK-3000. 50-CHALK-3000. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.